Good morning, church. How are we doing? It's good. Beautiful day today, isn't it? Stunning. Yeah, I walked outside and I don't know, is it actually, what comes after winter? Like, we never had winter in Queensland, so what is the season after that? I don't know, it is spring. Is it spring yet? Oh no, not yet. Okay. All right, well, it's a little of a teaser, is it? I know. But no, anyway, we'll be grateful for what we have. Let me open up in a word of prayer and we'll jump into our message this morning. Father, we do just thank you, just even for the small things, Lord, like a beautiful sunshine in the morning. We just thank you, Lord, that you are the provider for all our needs. We thank you, Lord, just for your word and what we can learn from it day after day. And I just pray this morning, Lord, as you just speak through me, that you would just take the words that I've written down here and just use them to glorify your name and just to touch people's hearts this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, last Saturday I was sharing my testimony at the men's breakfast here, just out the back. And while I was preparing to share my testimony, I realized that it's actually been 14 years now since I've given my life to Christ. 14 years since I was committed to following Jesus for the rest of my life. And so that meant that I was 18 years old when I was baptized and committed to faith. And one thing that I was thinking about as I was preparing this message is, sadly, in those 14 years of my Christian life, I can count on the hands, on my fingers, on my hands, sorry, the people who I have been able to look up to, or the people that have inspired me to learn from or even desired to imitate when it comes to a devoted prayer life. Even through all the churches that I've been involved in, whether it's just as a congregation member or as a pastor since I've started ministry, one of the biggest struggles that I've noticed in all of these churches has been around the ministry of prayer. All of them have faced it. And the National Church Life Survey just reiterates that. This is taken from 2018, where it says regarding prayer and meditation, 3 in 10 Australians say they pray or meditate at least once a week. So 3 out of 10. Now, I don't want to say these things to make us feel guilty, but I say these things to raise alarm bells for us as followers of Jesus. Because if this is the direction that we're heading, we need to be concerned. And Oswald Chambers said a beautiful quote like this. He says, "Prayer does not fit us for the great work. Prayer is the great work." And so if it seems today that the church is losing its culture or even its desire to pray, we can surely all agree that we need to do something about that, right? Yes? Yeah. Great. And so what do we do about that? Well, first of all, we probably need to start asking questions. Questions like, how can we have a better prayer life? How can we deepen our desires to pray? Or what do we do when we don't have a desire to pray? And these are questions that I'm sure many of you have asked yourselves, and even I myself have asked myself and still continue to ask myself on occasions as I look to deepen my own prayer life. And we don't want to do this just for the purposes, I mean, it's great to increase our own prayer life, but more so as we look to the generations that are coming behind us and looking to us as examples of what it is to be a devoted follower of Christ. Are we setting good examples for them to follow? Are we showing the importance that we should be to prayer in our personal lives and here at LCC as a church family? This morning, I want to look at Jesus' life, as you can see from the title, and 4 examples that he gave us that we can follow when it comes to our own prayer lives. So how to pray like Jesus is the title for the message today. Firstly, the first thing that Jesus starts off with is actually quite simple, and it is starting with prayer. Start with prayer. I don't know about you, but when you wake up in the morning, what is the first thing you do when you open your eyes? Is it often, for me, it's thinking about getting ready for maybe church or getting ready to go to work, preparing the kids to get ready for school. We don't often have a lot of choices when you've got kids at home because they might be knocking at the door. I know sometimes our kids like to come in or are crying if you've got young kids and stuff like that. So we don't always have the freedom to do what we want to do in the morning. Yet Jesus, on the other hand, we see a number of times he does this in the morning. In Mark 1 verse 35, it says, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up and left the house and went off to a solitary place where he prayed." First thing in the morning, Jesus saw it as important to get up and to spend time praying. And as we all know, we're all in different stages of our lives at the moment. Some of us are single, some of us are still at school, some of us are studying, some of us have kids, some of us, our kids are grown up old enough to look after themselves. Which means that some of us are able to get up early and to spend time in prayer and to spend time seeking God. But for others, maybe you're a shift worker and that morning time is actually the time where you've just come home to go to sleep. And I know for me, I'm one of those people who really struggles in the morning. I'm not a morning person. And so time and time again throughout my life, I've tried to get up early and get into a routine of praying and seeking God early in the morning. Yet it has continued to fail. But that's because I don't believe what Jesus was saying here or what Jesus' example was setting for us is this legalistic example of the first thing you have to do in the morning is get up and pray or you're not being a good Christian. Rather, what I think Jesus was trying to show us in his life and the devotion that he spent to prayer was that we need to place prayer as a priority in our life. He started his day with prayer, yet he didn't only just start his day with prayer, he started many things that he did in his ministry with prayer. Things from like casting out demons or preaching or raising someone from the dead, all these sorts of things in Jesus' ministry, if you see, he starts them with prayer. And that's because I think Jesus wants us to know Not only is it great if you can get up in the morning and spend time praying as the first thing, but more importantly, it's to be starting everything that we do with prayer. Whether that's getting up, whether that's applying for a job, whether that's pursuing a new relationship, whatever you're looking at doing in your life, we should look to be doing it by starting with prayer. Because when we get into these habits of praying for everyday things, we'll find slowly that over time, our prayer life will start to deepen. And sometimes we think we only leave prayer for the big things in our life. But it's that consistent prayer of the little things, starting everything with prayer, that will make us enjoy praying more and deepen our own prayer life. So the first thing is starting with prayer. The second thing that Jesus showed us is to have a special place of prayer. Now this might be a bit weird or seem a bit out of place because most of the prayer that we experience from seeing other people is focused around things like church on a Sunday morning or in home groups or public gatherings and things like that. And even maybe saying grace at the dinner table before you eat your food. But what we see throughout Jesus' ministry again is that many times he chose to take himself away from the busyness of the life that he was involved in, even away from his own disciples at times, so that he could spend some time focusing on prayer to God. Recently, Colin, myself, we headed up to our annual Baptist Pastors Conference up at Harndorf, and the director of ministries, Melinda Cousins, she was just sharing a little bit about her own experience. And one thing that touched me was she was talking about her own prayer life, and in particular how in her house she has got a special chair that is, she called it her prayer chair. And it's a chair that's set up in her house, and it reminds her that this, it's a time to pray. Prayer is important, and it's somewhere where she can sit down and focus on prayer. Yet Jesus shared some different words to his disciples around how they should pray, which Miriam read for us already this morning. And he said, "And when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Yet Jesus says, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. And then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you." So is Jesus saying there that we shouldn't pray at church, or we shouldn't pray in our life groups, or when we're out in public with people? No, I don't think that's what Jesus is saying. But Jesus is saying, how does your prayer life measure up? How does your prayer life measure up? Are you the person that only prays out in public and you like everyone to hear you praying and you pray really loud even if you're out in a cafe and you want people to know that you're praying? Or are you the kind of person who takes that time in their secret place, in their personal prayer life with God, to seek Him? Both of these are good things in our life. So don't hear me that praying in church is wrong, because I enjoy and love praying and encouraged when I pray with other people. But it is important for us to have a healthy balance of prayer in our life. And thankfully, that was the hint that Jesus gave to his disciples as well, to apply to their lives and to help them maintain their balance of prayer, of personal and public prayer. And he mentioned it. He said in verse 6, he said, "See what is done in who sees what is done in secret will reward you." So my question to you is, do you have a place of prayer, a special place of prayer in your life? It doesn't have to be the only place you pray, but maybe it's something like in your house. You've got a certain area of your house or your garden. You just love to go out there and it draws you closer to God. Or maybe it's the office or going for a walk or in your car. Do you have somewhere where you can go and know that you will be able to be alone with just you and God? At my previous church up in Queensland, unfortunately, we didn't have a church office at all. So I was doing a lot of work from home at the time, and we just had kids. And so there was a difficult stage of adjusting to having kids, working from home, not having that space and opportunity to be able to just be alone with God. And so what we did eventually was we developed in my office at home just a corner that we designated and sort of did up a bit as a reminder for me that I need to seek God in prayer in my personal life. And we had the Lord's Prayer, which we've looked at already a couple times this morning, as a graphic on the wall, which helped me. So I could shut my office door and I knew this was time for me to pray. And here at the office, it's awesome because every time I come into work, I've got, some of you have probably been phone called or texted by me, but I've got my church directory sitting at the computer. And so I know when I come into work, that reminds me that I need to pray. I need to pray for my church family. When we don't have spaces like this in our life where we are reminded or encouraged to pray, it can be hard for us to have a personal, encouraging prayer life. or when our personal and public prayer life get out of balance, it can be a real challenge to bring it back into line. So where is your special place of prayer? And if you don't have one, maybe consider where could that be in your life. So we've got start with prayer. We've got encouragement to have a special place that reminds us to pray. And as Colin already mentioned to us in the children's talk, the second one is the top model for prayer. Prayer's top model comes out of Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 13. And we all know it so well. And it actually felt weird when Colin read it out the first time. Normally everyone starts reading it afterwards. It was a bit strange, but yeah, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Jesus gave his disciples and us today the Lord's Prayer as a structure for how we are to pray, or how we should not pray as well. It wasn't just a simple creed, as he mentioned in the verses leading up to us, for us to repeat again and again and again, but rather it was something for us to look deeper into what is Jesus saying. And it breaks it down really into a bit of a 5-point structure that Jesus' disciples or any of us could have used to apply to our own prayer lives. And so it starts off with, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." So when we come to prayer, the first thing that we should look at doing is praise. Praising God. Praising God for the things that have happened in our life. Now, often that's not the case, because when we first come to prayer, it's like, "God, I've got all these needs that I want you to meet." But Jesus says every time we come to prayer before God, we have reasons to praise him, and so we should praise him. And then it goes down to, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And so this is our opportunity now to present our requests. So God knows that we have needs, and he loves it when we bring our needs to him, and even more so when those needs align up with his will to be done. And then he goes on the next part, "Give us our daily bread." And so we now move into a time of God's provision for our needs and the needs of others. So it's not just looking inwards, but we can look at asking God to provide for those around us. And then we move into, "And forgive our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors." And the most importantly, asking for forgiveness for our sins. Because, and I know we've mentioned it here at church as well, it's not something that we often like to do, like to confess our sins and ask for that forgiveness from God. But it's something that we should do on a regular basis. And then, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." That continued prayer of protection for ourselves, to not be tempted by the devil's tactics, for our families, for our church members, for people in the world, to be protected by God. Something so simple that maybe many of us have read again and again, and Colin said, a lot of us have memorized the Lord's Prayer. But do we use it in the way that it was intended? Do we use it to pray for praise for God, to share our requests to God for provision, forgiveness, and protection? So as Colin said to the children this morning, if we don't know sometimes what to pray in certain situations, this is a great model to begin with, to build on and to expand on how we pray. And I know many Christians that do use that today. And so we've seen starting with prayer is important. Having a place that we can just be alone with God that reminds us to pray is important. We've also seen a great model for us to follow in our own prayer lives. But finally, we have the prayer of silence. With the busy lifestyles we live today, our prayer life can often be affected by that, as everything is affected by the lifestyle that we live. And so for many of us, we can find it hard to spend that time to pray. And so what ends up happening is, as you're running out the door, maybe you're saying a quick prayer and spewing out a whole lot of stuff to God. And maybe sometimes we don't always mean what we're saying. We're just ticking the box off. We know we should pray, so we just quickly vomit something out. Jesus himself also lived a busy life, if we've looked at his ministry at all. Yet in that lifestyle, he never let it take priority of his life. Numerous times throughout his ministry, we see him, he deliberately, when things get busy, he takes a step back from the busyness of his life to focus again on prayer. And then we see in Matthew chapter 14, verse 23, he dismissed his disciples and then he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. And later that night, he was there alone. Or Mark 1, verses 35, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Luke 6, verse 12, one of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. How often in our lives do we take time out to pray? Is it a quick word vomit for us most days out the door? For many of us, this might be the biggest challenge that we face. And sadly, as we look out at the culture as well, as we become more and more consumed by busyness, social media, technology, and the age of things to come even. But Jesus showed us that there's a perfect and simple cure. And it rests on our shoulders, just like it did for Jesus. We need to be willing to choose stillness. We need to be willing to take time to be silent. We need to make that decision to turn off the TV, to put down the phone, to turn the music off, to not worry about what's happening on our social media. Romans 12 verse 2 says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds." When we are willing to choose to turn away from the things that the world continues to encourage us to do and pressures us into, and take that time just to be silent with God. Paul says here clearly that that is the moment when our minds start to be renewed. And that is why prayer is so vital. And spending time with God, being in God's presence silently, is one of the biggest things that will help us to grow our prayer life. So we all, hopefully, desire to deepen our relationship with God. And prayer is one of the greatest ways that you can do that. And we can follow Jesus' examples that he's set for us in the Bible to have a better prayer life. Starting with prayer, maybe it's a major life decision that you're making, or maybe it is for you, that routine of just getting up in the morning and the first thing you do is say a prayer when you open your eyes. Or maybe it's finding a special place for you to pray. If you struggle and you get distracted a lot, maybe it's a space that is away from everything and you can just be alone with you and God and be encouraged to pray. Or maybe you're at a point where you just don't know, like, what do I pray? How do I spend more time praying when I don't know what to pray to God? Well, the Lord's Prayer is a beautiful guide that I'd encourage you to follow. Praise, request, provision, forgiveness, and protection. And then finally, We need to remember that we are not the victims of our culture. We are not controlled by our culture and the trends of the day that are happening. We have the ability to choose to step away from that, to step back, to take some time to just sit down and be still. Maybe just go on the beach, just sit on the beach and be silent with God and have your mind renewed. And I know even here at LCC, we actually have a few prayer ministries that are already operating. We have a prayer group that meets every Sunday morning before the church service starts, where I'm sure they would love for you to come and join in prayer with them. We have the lovely ladies Joy and Joyce who meet here on Tuesday mornings, faithfully praying for many people in the church and outside of the church. And we are even looking into other opportunities as well to be able to encourage us as a church family to be praying more. Ultimately, so that we can in the future be that example to the generations to come when they come to the church here, that they'll see that we, LCC, hold prayer with great importance and more especially with great power. And so just to finish off, I just want to leave you with a quote that I found is quite challenging for myself, but probably for many of us. It's from Corrie ten Boom, a lovely Dutch lady, and she said this. She said, "Is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire?" Let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much for Jesus' examples. We know, Lord, that he lived a human life. He was as much a man as any of us here, Lord. And he showed us, as he lived as a man, the example that we can follow when it comes to our own prayer life. And Lord, as we saw the statistics earlier, we do pray against that, Lord. We pray against the shift of culture that is moving away from prayer, and we encourage us to be involved more in prayer, Lord, in our personal lives, in our church family, Lord. I just pray that the Holy Spirit would just be working in us now. And Lord, we do pray in the future that we can look back and that we can see that we are a church that is praying. We are a church that holds prayer as a vital part of the work that you do here and that we do. And so we just pray you go before us. In Jesus' name, amen.